Welcome to the 359. I'm Ben Fox-Rubin.
I'm Joni Salzman.
Google is trying to use its massive brain power to outsmart Amazon's Alexa. Our own Rich Nieva wrote a story today about the search giant using machine learning and artificial intelligence to create new features for its assistant that are tough to match. Some of these are interpreter mode, which speaks 27 different languages. There's also duplex, which is that robocaller that mimics, like, if you had a secretary that was calling to schedule a hair appointment or get a restaurant reservation. So my question to you, though, is this something that you think people are going to want out of their assistants in the first place?
Well, one of the things that I think people want is more natural conversation with assistants, not having to feel like you have to say, hey, Google, play me this song on this album from this artist.
It feels like you're talking in code, basically.
It does. And so I think people, as it seems like people are welcoming more voice assistants into their lives, I think that the work that Google says it wants to do on making the conversations more conversational.
Yeah. And so this executive that Rich talked to said that they're hoping to get the basics of natural human conversation down pat in 5 years.
Right.
I'm a little skeptical about that. I think that's actually a much, much harder problem to solve even for Google, but I think they'll get a hell of a lot closer to it in 5 years.
Right.
The other thing that I want to mention about this, because I cover Amazon as a company, don't count Amazon out. They've hired like something like 10,000 people for their Alexa team.
Really?
So
wow.
Yeah, they see this is a huge opportunity for them. They're not just building the hardware. They're really trying to push this as much as possible because they see voice computing as this as a really big opportunity.
So Amazon is making a big push into it, but where do you think that Google does have the advantage?
I think Rich had it right, where Google currently has the advantage when you talk about machine learning, artificial intelligence, their ability to do translation. I also think that Google in general is just much, much better at actually understanding what it is that you say. Like, I use both, and Google typically just gets it right more often.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It'll be an interesting battle, and you know, we'll keep writing about it. Either way, next up, podcasts, so hot right now. Spotify announced it bought two podcast companies, Gimlet and Anchor. I can't say that I had actually heard of Anchor, but Gimlet, to me, that sounds like a pretty big deal. I mean, like, that's a rather significant podcasting company, right?
Right, yeah. So this is something that Spotify has been messaging that they would be doing, that they're really interested in non-music audio entertainment. And so it's not a surprise that they would be going after podcasts. They've been talking about how much they're interested in that kind of thing. But I think it is surprising how much Spotify thinks the market for podcasts really are. It's still sort of a niche thing, and not in terms of listening, but in terms of making money off
right.
of it. And that's something that Spotify really needs to do. Music streaming doesn't make a lot of money. Most music streaming companies are not profitable, including Spotify, if you look at their in total like year, rather than just looking at a single quarter. But yeah, they want to spend up to like $500 million on acquisitions this year. And this is a big chunk of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you think this helps them against Apple Music?
Well, Apple, in terms of iTunes, is obviously like the de facto place that people get their podcasts already. So while Spotify is still ahead of the game, ahead in the game against Apple Music in terms of the number of people that are using it and the number of people that are subscribing to it, podcasting is an area where it's definitely Apple's turf. So if Spotify wants to sort of change the equation about how we find podcasts, how people post podcasts, and where you're listening to your podcast, then Apple's the one that they're still going to be batting up against.
Right. That being said, they're not going to like pull Gimlet's podcasts off of iTunes, right? Like that would be
a pretty crazy
nuclear option.
Yeah, that'd be a great question. I mean, you could say that if they were to do that, it wouldn't be like they'd be putting it behind a paywall, because Spotify obviously has the free tier to listen to anything with ads, and that's not going to be going away anytime soon. And so I guess it just depends on how disruptive they want to be to dedicated podcast listeners. If people have sort of their ingrained ways of doing things, even if it's not necessarily a loyalty to Apple, like I gotta listen to.
Yeah, this is where I get it.
Yeah, it's at least a very ingrained behavior. So it would be interesting to see if they do pull it off. I'd be surprised if they do, just because it would be so disruptive to this core audience of podcast listeners, but we'll see.
Yeah. Last, Angela Arendt.
Arendt, I think.
Angela aren't here anymore. I think that pun worked. That pun still works. Yes, Apple's retail chief and former Burberry CEO is leaving in April. Apple said she's heading out for, quote, new personal and professional pursuits. Either way, we're out of time. So if you want to read more about these stories, check them out on CNET. I'm Ben Fox-Rubin.
I'm Joni Salzman.
Thanks for listening.